Hi, Jennifer. I'm Andrea Poli. I'm an associate professor of art and ecology at the University of New Mexico.
And what are you doing in Logan?
I'm here as part of the Art System Project, and I'm presenting a project called Particle Falls, which visualizes real-time particulate pollution in the air.
So I got to see Particle Falls last night at the unveiling, but a lot of our listeners did not get to see it and might not get to see it. Can you sort of, through the magic of radio, describe what it looks like? Because it's a very visual experience.
Sure. Particle Falls is a large-scale computer-generated waterfall. It's on the outside of the Performing Arts Center at Utah State. And if it's a beautiful clear day and there's no particulate pollution in the air, you see this beautiful pristine blue waterfall. But if particulate pollution is detected, we use a device called a nephelometer to detect that. If particulate pollution is detected, you might see little red or orange dots over the waterfall. And as the more particulate pollution is detected, that waterfall turns into something like a fireball in real time.
And why water? Why is that how you've chosen to represent air?
Well, it actually, there's a little history to that. When I first was commissioned to create Particle Falls, it was in San Jose, California, and it was part of an initiative to revitalize a certain kind of forgotten industrial corner of the city. And so they wanted me to do a projection on a tall building, and I stood at the corner of that street looking up at the building and thinking that it was almost like a cliff or something. And I was imagining a tall waterfall like some you might see in South America or something falling down that building. So it was really the idea of a waterfall as a representation of a beautiful jungle or natural setting, and how a more urban setting might be transformed by that. So there's no real connection, I think, between water and particulate pollution, although there really is scientifically, but that wasn't the original idea.
Right. And we should probably back up and talk a little bit about Art System, or Artsy STEM, as right. There's a little bit of debate on how to pronounce it. It's a USU initiative to sort of talk about the confluence of art and science. And so that's one of your specialties or interests, or that's how you operate, right?
Sure. So STEM, as you know, stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. And it's been an important initiative in the federal government agencies and state in many states to increase learning and engagement in STEM fields for the purposes of kind of enhancing the profile of the country internationally, looking to the future and kind of what fields do we need people to be a part of. So Art System has come out of a growing national and international movement to include the arts in that education and research and experience of STEM. And the reason that has become such an important growing movement is because the arts really help to engage people, especially young people, in understanding sciences, science and engineering.
When people walk by and they see the installation, what should their experience be, or what is being communicated?
Well, I think I want people to at first be sort of surprised and intrigued, almost like there's a spectacle that they're seeing and they're wondering about. And then I'd like them to understand that what they're seeing is the real-time particulate pollution. It's important to us to have the nephelometer in view of the public so people can see that this is monitoring the air that they're actually breathing. And then as they see, if they see pollution or if they don't see pollution, they might breathe easier, or if they do see a lot of pollution, they might think and hold their breath or think about, you know, what is going on in their air. I mean, one thing that really shocked me, especially when I started to do some research and I learned about inversions, was that you can have inversions like you have here in Logan where hundreds, if not thousands, of people actually die. And I was thinking about, gosh, you know, if there was a terrorist attack and, you know, 100 people died or something, I mean, people would be in the streets and really upset about it. But things that happen with air pollution, there doesn't seem to be that same reaction. So that was something that drove doing a piece like this. Why don't we have that same reaction when people are dying or getting asthma from air pollution? Maybe it's because they can't really see it because it's so invisible.
One thing about our inversions here or the air pollution, it's not invisible. It's very visible.
Right. In the mountains, yeah.
And there is a sort of aesthetic awareness that comes from the mountains being blocked or the view. I mean, you see sort of iconic images now of, you know, our beautiful mountains snow-capped with this layer, which is usually very white. Sometimes it's brown, but it definitely skews towards looking more like a fog, which sometimes works against against the awareness because it looks sort of natural. It's a cloud color, but it's definitely looks like it's not supposed to be there. Is there a difference between sort of seeing that sort of realistic vision, you know, visualization of the pollution and a work of art that's visualized? It's a visualization of the data.
I think one thing about Particle Falls anyway, I mean, I'll defer that more general question because there's a lot going on there. But in terms of Particle Falls, because it's being updated every 15 seconds and you see things happening sort of immediately, responding to, for example, if someone's smoking a cigarette or if a big bus or a diesel vehicle comes up to the nephelometer. So I think that's a little different. You don't normally see, unless you've got a car that's really spewing black smoke, you don't normally see what is going on right in the immediate vicinity. So that, I think, is one difference between that and then viewing the mountains.
That's a really good point. I noticed last night sort of when people were watching it for the first time, some sort of like cheering when, you know, there was some activity because it was mostly running clear and beautiful. And it is this
blue. We were lucky last night.
Yeah. It's really it's really enticing just to look at. Like you said, people are just, they stop and they're initially just curious about it. And last night we had this crescent moon and Venus and it was just really stunning. And then when we started to see the yellow and the red, and those are all very loaded colors too. I mean, I wanted to ask you about your work with Air Now or your understanding of sort of how that campaign came to be, because that's, you know, we're all very familiar with Red Air Days around here. And we know that, you know, red is bad and yellow means caution. We're on our way to bad. And that color scheme, I think, was very strategic on the part of the EPA of sort of getting the word out about air pollution. What do you know about the evolution of how that came to be, or do you know?
I know a couple of things about that. I know that, in fact, the scale, that scale is used internationally, and I know that but what values constitute that scale, what levels of pollution constitute that scale are different. So, for example, in Canada, that's a different scale than we use in the U.S. And so I think that, well, it's certainly a really effective system. It's important for people to look into it and understand exactly what the levels are and what that means for their health, for example, especially if they're experiencing asthma. Just as an anecdote, there's a project in Pittsburgh that I really love in the schools where kids have flags, solid colored flags, and they find out about the air quality, and then they'll put up a flag every day based on that color.
Yeah, that's a federal EPA program.
Oh, very cool.
We actually just got it in one of the schools here.
Nice.
At least one of the schools. So
nice. Yeah, I think it is really effective because it's a clear, quick way to understand it. But yeah, I'll say those red days, I mean, those are really dangerous for everyone, not just people who have lung issues. So that's scary that those happen here.
Yeah. Is that why you chose the colors that you did for Particle Falls?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
blue makes sense for water, but yeah. when it sort of gets activity, it has orange, yellow kind of fire colors.
Yeah, I did want something, you know, sort of significantly different that might trigger an alarm feeling. I think that reaction that you're talking about where people are kind of, you know, cheering, I've struggled with that quite a bit with this piece because I'm saying, well, I don't want to really encourage, obviously, pollution. But I do think the reaction that people have is initially like, oh, wow. And then they sort of start to stop and question it and say, oh, but what is that I'm looking at? You know, it looks really cool, but maybe it has some, almost like that white cloud you're talking about. You see it and it looks natural and it looks cool, but then you start to realize with more understanding what it actually means.
I think it would be really cool to have an installation like Particle Falls hanging out in our town for an extended period of time. It's only here for a couple of days, I think.
Actually, it's going to be here for a couple. It's going to be on for a couple days every month until the middle of April.
Oh, excellent.
So next month, I think from the 19th to the 22nd or something, and then the same thing in March and in April, I think it's the 18th to something. So they're going to be showing it throughout up until the big art system symposium.
Where else has it been installed and sort of what has been either the reaction or the experience or, you know, because it's a whole thing. I mean, it's not a sculpture that gets placed somewhere. It's portable. It moves around. It's goes to events. You know, what other kinds of settings have you displayed it at?
Well, it was originally commissioned for the city of San Jose. It's been in Philadelphia with the Chemical Heritage Foundation, where there was an exhibit and a series of activities related to climate change in conjunction with Particle Falls. And then it's been in Pittsburgh, sponsored by the Heinz Foundation, in conjunction with the Breathe Project, which is a citywide Pittsburgh project related to air quality. So in both Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, there were advocacy groups who were using Particle Falls throughout their run. They were on for a couple months each time, same in San Jose. And people would be out on the street kind of talking to people. There were different studies that were done, different classroom activities that happened in relation to Particle Falls. We also showed it for 3 days on the street in Detroit. And that was really fun because we ourselves were out on the street kind of talking to people about their reactions and stuff. It was during a big festival called D-Electricity.
Is it kind of available for commission? I mean, if people were interested, and how do people approach you and say, I want this in my town? Or
they could contact me. I'm talking to a group that wants to put it in 3 boroughs of New York City. So I'm really excited about that because I lived in New York City for a long time. So it's be wonderful to have it there. And I'm talking to some people in North Carolina about having it. So yeah, I would love to share it around. Another thing that was great in the Pittsburgh presentation is that we actually collaborated with some scientific groups who collected the data during the course of the time that it was available. We're actually not collecting the data. We are just showing it in real time. But I think that's another interesting aspect is to kind of collect that data and then analyze it for whatever purposes. They wanted to see the Nephelometer was at a bus stop, and they wanted to see the impacts of these new greener buses that they had along this certain corridor of their arts cultural center of the city. Yeah.
I just have kind of one more question about process, because I think, I mean, we haven't really talked about how your art is sort of unique and collaborative, and it's very interdisciplinary. Mm-hmm. How does the process of that work? So with something, let's just stick with Particle Falls. You have the concept for it, and are you actually building it? You get electricians to help you out. You know, what does your team look like? What is your role? How does something like that come to be?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that because while I've been here, people have been asking me about it. It's a really interesting question. I mean, I think one thing for sure is that all my projects really evolve through lots and lots of other projects and trying things out. You know, something like Particle Falls has been really successful and really popular. But for me, anyway, you know, I kind of have to slog through a whole bunch of bad ideas until I get to something that really is compelling to people. So there's been a lot of other projects that have sort of led up to the development of Particle Falls. So that's one thing. But when you're producing, you know, so we got the commission, went to the site, saw that building, thought about what might work in that context, and then secured the partners. So we partnered with Air Now to help us think about air quality data. They connected us with Met One, who donated the wonderful nephelometer called the e-sampler that we're using. It helped us use it. And when I say us, it's myself and my research group. I run a small research group at the University of New Mexico called the Social Media Work Group. It's a mixture of undergraduate and graduate students who are engineering students, arts students, sometimes communications and journalism students. So we all kind of work together. So we got a lot of information from Met One, and then I had a computer science student named Ryan Romero who did the initial programming to get the data. I did the initial visualization, and then Ryan graduated. And but before he did, he trained another student who was here and in Utah, helping us set up, Eric Goyce. So he's done some fixing and tweaking of the programming, and also helps to do the running. And then here and on site, we usually work with technical teams who do the projections. So here we worked with Mark Coven, Tim, and a graduate student, Mikey, who's part of his STEM arts fellowship program, and an undergraduate student, all to set up the projection. So it really is a kind of team that comes together to make this stuff happen.
Yeah, and it's great that it's a sort of different team every time. I mean, it's a sort of living, breathing thing that way, and that every time it's displayed, new people get to be involved.
It's always different experience, too. So from my end, too, it's interesting.
Yeah, and the reaction to it is probably different every single time.
Mm-hmm. And also the kind of, there's a very local situation with air quality, not just how populations and communities feel about it, but actually how air quality happens in different places. You know, here it seems that you're going to have when you have bad air quality days, you're going to have a consistent bad air quality for the entire day or a couple of days, whereas in other places you'll have this very intermittent kind of air quality issue. So that's been really interesting to see, too, like what people are battling. In Pittsburgh, there was a lot of industry that was creating air quality issues. Here, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, that is one of the most interesting things about our air pollution problem, is that the problem is us. And that's a really difficult thing because you can't point fingers at industry or say, you know, someone else is causing this or doing this to us. And so I think that the art piece is a really interesting way to kind of show that, you know, because I feel like everybody has a little bit of a stake in it. And when they're looking at it and they're experiencing it, it's like, that's our air pollution that we are making. It's not, you know, we're not projecting it on the side of a factory. It's here in our community.
That's what I really like about presenting Particle Falls, and what made me feel like it was successful a couple of times in different cities. I've sort of been hiding and trying to be a fly on the wall and listen to people's reactions. And I've heard people say a couple of times, oh, that's our waterfall. Check it out. You know, just kind of taking ownership of their city and the information that's being displayed there. I was really blown away by how much people know about the air quality and inversions around here. I have never experienced that anything like that in other city and other places that I've shown this piece. I was riding on the shuttle from the airport here, and you know, it's an hour and a half drive, so we got chatting with the driver and the other people in the van, and So told them what we were doing, and they just started talking about so many details they knew about Pete, just a regular person, knew about the inversions and what causes them and when they happen. And the driver actually is suffering from asthma, so he was talking about his experience. And it's really amazing the awareness of people out here.
Well, Andrea Poli, thank you so much for being here and for sharing your art with our community and sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much, Jennifer. It's my pleasure.